You know, it's always good to be gathered on a day like this and celebrate, have the opportunity to celebrate family. And today, in case you haven't picked up, we're going to be honoring a few new additions to our fellowship this morning and welcoming some little ones back into the fellowship this morning. And so it's obviously always so good on these Sundays to see the extended family out. I know there's omas and opas that have traveled far and wide. I know Barent and Kirby have got like their whole neighborhood out. You know, but there's just something special about us gathering together and celebrating the birth of newborns. And in some cases this morning, not so newborns, as they have been added to families. You know, as I was thinking about this morning's message and the value of families, I couldn't help but think about God's amazing design for the family and His love for individuals. You know, in writing to the church in Ephesus, Paul said in chapter 2, verse 19, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household." You know, if you look closely at that passage of Scripture, you know, Paul is writing to a bunch of saved first century disciples in the town of Ephesus, and he says, "You are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens and also members of God's household." Now, what do you think about when you think about a household? Family. I think of the Lupperman family, or, you know, the Funicat family, or, you know, when I think of a household, that's what comes to mind. It's a combination of the family members that make up that household. Have you ever wondered who makes up God's family? We've obviously got God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the perfect triune God. When you think about heaven, God has got all His created beings there as well, the cherubim, seraphim, and all these fancy names that some of these angels have been given. You also have the souls of righteous people made holy under the old and new covenant. And I love that passage in Hebrews that describes that it's like a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on as we live out the Christian life and as we walk the Christian walk. That's God's family. Now, when we are added to God's kingdom here on earth, we become a part of that treasured family that God has designed. It's always been God's design to have a people set apart for Himself here on earth and a spiritual family, so to speak. Let's have a look here in Exodus chapter 19. I'm going to read from verse 1. "On the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, 'This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation.' These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." You know, I picked a passage out of the book of Exodus here, where Moses is really, he's standing at the foot of Mount Sinai. And it's a terrifying sight. Now, the Bible says that the mountain shook. That there was fire on Mount Sinai. That there were boundaries and demarcations. That even if an animal came near it, it was spit dry for the afternoon. It was a terrifying sight. And yet, the Israelites said, "You know what? Why don't you go and speak to God for me? Or for us?" And so Moses goes up and he's conversing with God. And God says something so fantastic that you'd miss it if you didn't pick it up closely in verses 4, right down to the end of 6. He says, "If you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession." What is a treasured possession to you this morning? What is it? I'll never forget asking my wife to get married. And Jackie and I didn't have enough money in the ministry and to buy a ring. And so I took her two sisters out for lunch, and we sat down over lunch, and I asked them formally, you know, can I have your sister's hand in marriage? And they gave me such a hard time. But then Jackie's sister, who's just a little bit older than her, took out a sock, and in it was her mother's diamond with a ring inside of it. And she said, I've been waiting for this chance to give this to you. And I was thinking, man, a sock? What's up with that? She says, no, have a look inside the sock. And there was this beautiful ring, an old set cast ring. And I got this thing remade. It's now valued at a couple of thousand rand. It's a beautiful thing. It's a treasured possession. It's even specified under our insurance, specified item. Why? Because, forget the fact that it's diamond or gold. There's sentiment attached to it. You know, Jax's mom is unfortunately not with us anymore, and this belonged to her. And we'll pass it on to our children. It's a treasured possession. What is something treasured to you today? Maybe it's a car. Maybe it's a nice bottle of wine as I look across at Mike Renton. You know, if DeVette was here this morning, it would be a log of wood. Because DeVette loves making fire. What is a treasured possession to you? For God, He said, out of all the nations, if you obey me and commit to this covenant, you will be my treasured possession. And He says, although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You see, God had set out His plan and vision from the beginning to carve out a people, a nation for Himself. A family, a treasured possession, a kingdom of priests. That was God's dream. That was His heart. You know, the Old Testament is a fascinating collection of books. Because as you see it, you just see how weak and frail the Israelites were in their relationship to God. Man, they get close to God, they obey His covenants, God blesses them, then they turn away from Him, He sends the prophets, they call the people to repent, they don't repent, He then sends the Assyrians, and it's like this love story from Genesis right through to Malachi. As you see, generation after generation repent, turn to God, then walk away. And that's the whole book of the Old Testament. God continuously trying to have this intimate relationship with His treasured possession, His family here on earth. Eventually He decided, you know what? It's going to take a lot for me to carve out a people for myself. So you know what I'm going to give? I'm going to give my one and only Son. And I'm going to allow His body to be broken for people's sin on the cross. And I'm going to allow His blood to be shed for the forgiveness of their sins. Maybe then they would choose to become a treasured possession of mine. Maybe then they would want to choose to be a part of my family that I'm starting here on earth. And that's exactly what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Have a look in 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 9 down to the end of 11. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You know, flash forward in time, a couple of hundred years, and we're now under the new covenant. Jesus has gone to the cross, He's died, been buried, resurrected, gone to heaven, and this is Peter now writing in the first century to brand new Christians who had become a part of God's family. And what does he say? under divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I love the 2011 NIV translation because it says, God's special possession. Can you see the link? From Exodus chapter 19, it's fulfilled right here in 1 Peter chapter 2. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That's what's so fascinating about the Bible. It's irrespective of how God's people respond, He remains faithful to the cause. In His undying, unconditional love for His treasured possession, He's prepared to go the distance. He's prepared to do whatever it takes to carve out for Himself a spiritual family that would belong to Him. Isn't that incredible? And we see the fulfillment right here in 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's keep going. Have a look in Acts chapter 2 verse 36. You know, people often wonder or question, man, how do we join a church? How do we become a part of this amazing family? Well, let me tell you something. You don't sign up some membership form. God adds you to His number on His timing. You know, and we've jumped to a place in the text where Luke is writing about the events of the early church, and this is the Apostle Peter talking on the day of Pentecost. And he says, therefore, in verse 36, let all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. You know, we started out in Exodus chapter 19 to paint the picture of God's vision of creating a treasured possession, a family for himself. Then we jumped forward in history to see how God fulfilled that under the new covenant through Jesus Christ. But here we see the exact mechanism by which God adds anyone who is so willingly choosing to be a part of this family to that family. You know, what does Peter say? Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. You know, whether you're a part of the Enchia Church, RFM, Full Gospel, whatever the name on the side of the church says, if you make the decision to become a committed disciple or follower of Jesus, as the scriptures teach, repent of your sin and get baptized for the forgiveness of sin, having made Jesus Lord of your life, you know what happens? You are added to that true family. You become a part of that treasured possession. And we don't claim to have a monopoly on the truth. Certainly there are groups out there that certainly teach discipleship according to what the Bible teaches, repentance, baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and lordship as the scriptures teach. But that is how you are added to God's family this morning. And I know that we've got a number of visitors out this morning, and you might be thinking to yourself, well, how does this pertain to me? How does this apply to me? Do you notice what it says there? The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God would call. God extends an invitation to anyone who would want to be a part of His family. And what choice do you have to make? Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. and you are added to that special fellowship. Have you ever wondered what that first century church must have been like? That family, God's treasured possession, lived out in physical form. Have you ever wondered what it was like? Have a look in Acts chapter 2. A little bit further down in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need, and every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I've always wondered what that must have been like. To be a part of the first century church. The church that Jesus established along with his apostles. The realized and promised family of God. It's right here. The Bible says they devoted themselves. You know, the original Greek can also render that word addicted. These guys were devoted and addicted to what? The apostles' teaching. Or the Bible. They couldn't get enough of God's word. They were devoted or addicted to the breaking of bread. That is remembering the cross, the crucifixion. And to prayer. I love the fact in verse 44 that they were all together. There was perfect unity and had everything in common. These guys looked after each other like no other family does. They sold possessions in order to meet needs amongst them. The Bible says every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. There was a daily commitment to the relationships that they'd forged. They broke bread in their homes. You notice that? They're in each other's homes. And ate together with glad and sincere hearts. You know, growing up, I had my fair share of religious experiences with different churches. But one thing was common to them all. Church happened on a Sunday. We do our good duty. We go and we sit and we listen to the dominie or the predikant or whoever it is. And trust me, we went to many different churches growing up. And we'd sit there, you know, some churches, they'd stand up again, we now extend the hand of fellowship. You extend the hand of fellowship, which is just a shake. And then you withdraw it. You don't know who that person is. You've never met them in your life. You won't know who they are after the service, but that was fellowship. And then you walk away. And you kind of go the rest of the week doing your own thing, living your own life. That was my experience of Christianity growing up. But that certainly wasn't what God had in mind for his treasured possession, his family that he created on the day of Pentecost. He was seeking true relationships where people would be devoted to one another, loving each other unconditionally, in each other's lives, breaking bread in each other's homes with glad and sincere hearts. What is it? Family. That was God's desire and his dream fulfilled. You know what's so fascinating is that today, we too can choose to be that same family. We too can choose to make the decision to devote ourselves to being close to one another, caring for one another deeply. We too can choose not only to be Sunday Christians, but involved in each other's lives every day of the week. You know, something that I really appreciate about my particular Bible talk is we're on the WhatsApp group. Okay, for those of you who are older and maybe a little bit more technologically challenged, WhatsApp is like an internet facility that you can connect on, all right? And everybody can kind of talk and have an ongoing conversation. Man, it's Acts chapter 2 lived out. In fact, sometimes it's irritating. With the amount of WhatsApps and BBM notifications that come through, text messages, emails, phone calls. But you know what's amazing? Breach it, brother. Amen. So, someone's feeling quite strongly about that one. Huh? I recommend that you choose your WhatsApp groups wisely, okay? You can only be a part of a select few. I believe that there's only a certain amount of information overload that people can take. But you know, what I love about our particular WhatsApp group is you know what's going on in people's lives every single day. We've got a prayer chain that runs through the whole of Friday night every second week. And what I love about our group is on our WhatsApp group, there's accountability. So if you've got the 3 o'clock in the morning slot, you're getting a reminder. And it's just, that's family. This was God's plan from the beginning. To carve out for himself a treasured possession, a people holy, a kingdom of priests that could minister before him night and day. And that's exactly what you are this morning. The treasured possession and promised family of God fulfilled in Scripture. Isn't that incredible? Why have I said all this? It's because when we think about family, and we're about to welcome in and dedicate a few babies that have become a part of our fellowship to God, we need to think about the bigger picture of what God designed here. And so at this time, what I'm going to do is invite these particular families up on stage. And as I call them up, you can come on up. If you want to bring your extended family, great. If I can limit it to 5, because I don't know if we can fit all of Barton and Kirby's extended family and friends that have arrived, you know. But Omar, Opa, whomever is extended family to you, please come on up. All right, so at this time, I wanted to welcome up Olunje Magadla, which is Patience's grandson, if you can make your way to the frontier. I'd like to welcome Lihle Zenzi, which is Kupumla and Zwaki. Where are they? You guys on your way? I'd like to welcome up Lorenz Kurtzen, which is Barent and Rita's boy. Why don't you guys come on up? I'd like to invite Luto Neti, that is Andile and Aviwe's child. why don't we all come on up? Of course, Chris van Staden, now he's a radical baby because he's named after his uncle. And what's so exciting is Oma and Opa, Johan and Bella, obviously a part of our fellowship, and Kirby's sister Cecilia is here, and Mark, and it's just so encouraging to see how many folk are out from their family. And then we've got Sebastian Tiart, whose first day at church today. Why don't you come on up? If I can ask you guys to make your way around here, just create some space. And so we've got some new additions to our fellowship this morning. We're just waiting for the Van Stadens to come on up, and Andre and Yvette. You guys can stand here. Yeah. And we're going to have a small baby dedication service on steroids this morning with the likes of 6 families, okay? And so, church, you know what? God delights in children. He takes great pleasure in them. They are one of the greatest gifts he gives to husbands and wives. And in Psalm 127, verse 3, it says, "Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him." Now, because children are a gift from God, it is natural for Christian parents to present and dedicate their children to God. You know, in the Gospels, what we see is we see children being brought to Jesus along with little babies so that he might lay his hands on them and pray for them. In the same way, all of these parents today, what are they doing? Presenting their little ones to God in the sight of everyone here this morning. Accompanying them, I know Omar and Opa. If you're an Omar and Opa or an extended family member of any one of these families, why don't you stand up here? Stand up in the fellowship. We also want to welcome you this morning. Omar, Opa. So exciting to have you with us this morning. Parents, I wanted to call your attention to the commands of God recorded in Holy Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." I don't know if many of us are familiar with the song by Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Young that had a hit song, "Teach Your Children Well." That's the whole idea that the Bible is trying to communicate here this morning. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 1 says, "A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother." It's going to be interesting what little Chris van Staden brings here to the van Staden family. In other words, the successful application of all that these children will learn in the weeks and years to come depend on these parents teaching their children or raising their children to fear God and to obey His commandments. So, I'm urging you parents this morning to raise your children to love God. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm going to ask you guys to confirm some oaths, if you're ready for it. Parents, by coming forward before God and His people, do you declare your desire to dedicate yourselves and your child to God? If so, please respond by saying, "We do."
We do.
Okay. Having come freely, I ask now that you enter into the following commitment in the presence of God and His people. This is so that your child may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers in a Christian family and a Christian household. Do you parents vow by God's help and in partnership with the church to provide your children a Christian home of love and peace, to raise him and her in the truth of the Bible's instruction and discipline, and to encourage him one day or her one day to become a disciple of Jesus? He definitely says we do. Huh? You can respond by saying we do. Okay. Finally, I wanted to ask the church to make a vow here this morning as well. You know, as a body of Christ, we have a responsibility to teach the gospel, to the gospel story to the next generation. In fact, the Old Testament prophet Joel commands us to tell of God's work to your children, and to let your children tell it to their children, and their children to the next generation. So I direct my questions now to the church. Being present in God's house today, do you hereby declare yourselves to be the children of God because you trust in Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of eternal life? If this is true, please respond by saying, "We do." Okay. Can we all stand at this time? I ask now that you make the following commitment before God and those who stand before you, so that these children may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers in these households and families. Do you vow by God's help to be faithful in your calling as members of God's church and body to help these parents to be faithful to the vows to which they've committed to this morning? You can respond by saying, "We do." Why don't we close our eyes in a prayer here as we dedicate these wonderful children to God this morning. Father in heaven, it is such a privilege and an honor to come before you in prayer. God, we know that you esteem children, that the addition of children into our families is something special. It is a blessing that we can all look forward to. And God, as we stand with these families here before you this morning, I pray that you will bless these families, that you would strengthen the hearts and minds of these parents standing here to give them fortitude and knowledge and wisdom to be able to raise their children to know you, love you, and obey you wholeheartedly. I pray as a congregation and as a church and as a family, your treasured possession, that we too can provide the support and the encouragement and the help that these parents need to be able to raise their children to know you, love you, and obey you. Father, we dedicate these children to you. I pray, God, that you strengthen them, that you bless them, and in the coming weeks and months and years that we have the privilege of watching them grow up, that we can see their faith nurtured and their love for you grow. God, we love you. We thank you for this, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We've got a couple of gifts that we wanted to hand out to all of these parents. Where's Patience? Where's she? There we go. KP and Zwaki, there we go. This is Andile for you guys. Yeah, it's you guys. Huh? Bart and Rita. Bart and Kirby. Andre and Avet. Congratulations. Can we give them a round of applause, please? So make your way. Okay. That went surprisingly well. You know, I've done a number of baby dedications where the child is screaming, and it's quite an interesting affair. But we just want to encourage you, parents. Thank you for bringing your children to church this morning. Thank you for providing us the opportunity to see them in the flesh. I know for some it's their first service here, and such a great chance to be able to dedicate them to God. And that is our dedication service this morning. Why don't we close out on a word of prayer here?